For those of you that don't know, Ken Venturi grew up in California, went to work for Ed Lowry as a car salesman. Ed Lowry had caddied for Francis We Met in the great 1913 U.S. Open match between Varden Ray and We Met, which We Met won. Ken then was befriended by Byron Nelson and then by Ben Hogan. And as an amateur in 1956, very nearly won the Masters tournament. He then turned professional, and in 1964, in a 36-hole final, in 102-degree heat, at Congressional Country Club in Washington, D.C., won the United States Open Championship. For many, many years, he was the CBS golf analyst on television and remained friends with Byron Nelson to this day, with Ben Hogan, Bobby Jones, and Gene Sarazen before their deaths, and is now retired in Rancho Mirage, Palm Springs, California. It's March 8th, 2005. Here in New Haven, I'm looking out at snow all over the ground. Sleet is coming down. And I'm having the great pleasure to talk to Ken Venturi in Palm Springs. What's the weather like there, Ken?
Well, it's beautiful now. We've got over this rainy season. We've had all-time record for the rain, but it's nice now, and it's the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be in the pretty much high 80s this coming week.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How nice. Well, we just got back last night from the San Francisco Bay Area. We were at a granddaughter's christening, and it, you know, we had rain the first day, and then it was 75 degrees after
that.
Nice.
Yeah. So we've had our share of rain here.
So tell us about your experiences at the Yale Golf Course.
You know, I think I've played it twice, but I played it one time. I was up and playing in the Hartford Open.
Yeah.
And they asked me to come down and if I would play in the Pro-Am that they had.
Okay.
And I said, gee, I don't know. I said, well, I was on my way to New York anyway, and I said, well, I said, what's it for? And he said, I think your charity was nephrosis, is what it was.
Okay. Yeah, that would be right.
The state charity. So I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come by, and because what you could do, I said, I'll play, and whatever I win in the pro division or the pro-am, I'll donate to nephrosis.
Good for you.
So I had Jack Westland, who is Senator Jack Westland,
sure,
my partner there with two other fellas.
Okay.
Well, we won the foursomes. Then they had twosomes, so we won the twosomes. And I think what it was, if I'm not mistaken, is that I shot 67. I think the next best score was 74.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, the rumor around is that Venturi played here in a pro-am and set the course record at the time. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it was something in the 60s. I know that.
It was a competitor, they said, but it was 60. I remember it was 67.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Any idea what year that would have been or what?
I'd have to say, if I was coming up with numbers, I'd have to say 58 or 59.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then you think you played it one other time? Or?
Yeah, I think I went back up there some years later and went by and played with some friends and just remember the course as little as I do. I remember the ninth hole well with the big swale and the green and the whole thing.
Of course, of course.
The only one is you can hit a putt and it go out of sight.
That's right, that's right. They claim, they claim, and I've had it confirmed by three different people that Snead was on the front of the green. He took a sand wedge and wedged it to the back of the green, and the superintendent reprimanded him, and they had a few swear words back and forth, and Sam walked off the course. I thought you might like that story.
Oh, that was good, because that's the thing I think about, is that when you think about doing things like that, I think about the sixth hole at Riviera where they have the bunker and they pull the green.
Of course, of course.
Well, the pros can pitch over it if they're on the green, but the members aren't allowed to, which I can't.
That doesn't make any sense.
I think it's nice. It's a tradition they built it so many years ago, but I think they should just fill that thing in and make it a green and make it a hump or something. But
right.
But you can't have different rules where you're trying to play, and if you're playing in a tournament at the club as members, you can't pitch over the bunker.
Right. Well, now, you played Yale twice. I'm sure you don't remember a whole lot, but just as an overall remembrance, I mean, when you played it, do you remember thinking, gee, this is as good as Olympic, or this is as good as whatever?
Well, I always said that when I played it, that I was pleasantly surprised of how great it was, and not many people know about it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, we liked it that way for a while, and then we needed some people to play it to keep it up. So that's improved in recent years. So.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else you want to tell me about Yale, or can we sign off and then we'll talk off the record here?
No, that's fine. Just, as I said, I guess they watched over me when I said I'd give everything back, and Jack Weston never forgot it. And I left there. And
any idea how much money it was?
Oh, I have no idea. I just left it all there and went on by. I didn't even wait for them to figure out how much it was. I said, you take care of it. It's all yours.
And do you recall how you did in the tournament at Hartford at that time?
Let's see. I won Hartford in 64, but I always played. We played Wethersfield then.
Of course.
And I always did good at Hartford because I enjoyed the golf course. Of course, it's obsolete today compared to where these guys are hitting it today.
Well, you just might be interested to know that Yale, we started playing golf. I shouldn't say I wasn't around then, but they started playing golf at Yale in 1895.
Mm.
John Reed Jr., the son of John Reed of the Apple Tree Gang, won the National Collegiate Championship the second year they were playing. And they built a course in New Haven, and it was designed by a guy named Robert Pride, P-R-Y-D-E, who came from Tayport, Scotland, which is 10 miles north of St. Andrews. He was born in 1870. To make a long story short, you mentioned Wethersfield. He also designed Wethersfield.
How'd he do it?
Yeah, as well as the New Haven Country Club and Raceburg Country Club and a lot of things around here.
Oh boy.
So, but as you say, Wethersfield is pretty much obsolete. Well, it's been great talking to you, Ken, and good luck to you. Later in our conversation, Ken, I asked Ken Venturi if he knew Jeff Sweetser. And to my great surprise, he said he certainly did. Jeff Sweetser sponsored Ken Venturi for membership at Burning Tree Country Club in Washington, D.C., or right outside Washington, in Maryland, 25 years ago, and Ken is still a member at Burning Tree, the only professional who's a member there.